Kevin Owens, host of the Overseas Famous Podcast, here to personally invite you to subscribe to our official Patreon. Are you guys ready to take your podcast experience to the next level? Well, with our Patreon, you can do just that. And the best part, pricing starts at just $1. It's like a pack of gum. Less per month. By becoming a Patreon member, you'll unlock a world of amazing perks. We're talking merch giveaways, signed items by our guests, shout-outs on the podcast, exclusive content, and so much more. Not only will you guys get to connect with me and the Overseas Famous community on a deeper level, but you'll also gain access to behind-the-scenes content and early episode releases. So don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Join our Patreon today and become part of the Overseas Famous family. Together, we will make podcast history. Thank you for your support and can't wait to see you on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/overseasfamous to register. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Overseas Famous Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Owens. We are winding down season 5 with the great Tucker Hayman. Tucker has played all over the world, legitimately. He is currently playing in Japan, and we're going to hear his story, which is fascinating and inspirational as well. So, Tucker, you've played all over the world. We just talked about that. You were in Cyprus. You were in Germany. You played in the G League. You've played like everywhere, and you're in Japan. That is different. Like, so many different countries and regions. Like, what is it about your game that translates so well to different regions overseas?
For me, I would say, and it's something that I've always kind of prided myself on, is just being able to adapt and being versatile, you know, like in many different places all over the world. I've basically played, 1 through 5, to be honest, you know, and that I feel like has helped me to be able to just get in some new area with a different style of play and just kind of just make it work. Really just being kind of like a chameleon, not only on the court, but off the court too. So,
well, off the court is equally as impressive, because to be able to adjust, I mean, Czech Republic was the other one that I missed. So, but like, you've played a lot of European, obviously you played in the States and in the G League, then Japan. There's so many different languages and stuff. And when I played in South Korea, that was the hardest in terms of language barriers that I faced, because it wasn't like when you're in Europe, a lot of people are speaking English. Like, you can get by. In some of these, in like Japan and South Korea, there wasn't a ton of people. There's people who spoke English, but it wasn't as prevalent as it was in Europe, and you had to kind of adapt, like you said. Has that been a challenge, just figuring out figuring out certain languages? You've been in Japan for a while, so I guess you've picked up some Japanese.
Yeah, so actually I knew that it was going to be, you know, a transition. I have a lot of buddies who actually currently play and played out here before me, and so they were kind of the reasons why I came out here. You know, they were like, come on, bro, like, 3 out of the 4 of us in this Call of Duty party are in Japan. Like, come on, man. I'm like, all right. So, like, nah, but so when I found out I was coming to Japan, I hired a tutor and, like, started studying the language from, like, the ground up. So with, like, they have 3 alphabets. Like, I learned 2 of the basic alphabets. I learned sentence structure, vocabulary, and just all of that. And when I got here, I'm a lot better now than I was, but I was able to come here and, you know, speak it a little bit, you know. And like, when I came to the team, my first team, I introduced myself completely in Japanese, and like, the guys were just blown away, because they were like, whoa. that has been huge. So like, yes, there's, in every country you go to, there's big differences, you know, whether you're in South America or you're in the Middle East, you're in Asia, or you're in Europe. Everywhere, everybody speaks a different language and does things a different way. However, coming here, I was kind of like I was really ready for it. You know, I was going into my fifth year. I think I was my fifth or sixth year, and you know, I had dealt with just a lot of change already. And so you're kind of just like you're ready for it. And then when I started learning with this and with my tutors, we would actually have a segment where we would learn about culture too, like the Japanese culture. And so I got out here and there was a lot of stuff that I knew more than actually my teammates and people I knew that had actually been here for multiple years. So yeah, it's grown a lot. Like I can get around in public and pretty much read most of every I can read like a full menu and stuff and
Wow.
like an order and like that stuff has just made everything so easy because I've seen it on the contrary for people for it's their first year, they're not buying in, they're not trying to speak the language, they're not trying to accept the cultural differences. And they're miserable. And then it translates to on the court because, like, the actual on the court, what you're seeing and like doing is only like a small percentage. And it's like the end of the equation. You know what I mean? It's like everything that comes before that. Obviously, it starts with the work that you've done in the summer, but it goes to like, are you buying into the culture? Are you immersing yourself? Because if you're doing that, then you're creating relationships with the front staff, the coaches, the players. And if you don't have those like genuine relationships, it's like, how can you have chemistry with somebody? You can't. It's impossible. You can't have chemistry with someone for just being a basketball player. Because in a lot of places, that's not what's most important. You know what I mean? Especially here, what's most important here in Japan is like how good of a person you are, like how do you treat people, and you know, are you a good teammate? Like, can you build relationships and like be here with somebody to where you might not be able to speak like word for word and understand everything, but like we have to be able to build somewhere, you know? So like if you can speak a little bit of English, I can speak a little bit of Japanese, we can build something there. You know what I mean? And so like that's been huge. It's been like a paradigm shift in my career. And like when I actually did that, and I'm sure that like had I done this in like another like culture and a different country, things would have probably like clicked super easily. But you know how it is. Like you learn as you go. And as I did that out here, I was just like, I never want to leave Japan. Like, it's amazing. And it's, yeah, I love it here. Like, I've already said, like, if I can't in a subsequent year, whenever that is, they're like, hey, there's nothing for you here in Japan. I'd be like, cool, I'm done. I'm going home. Like, I don't want to play any, if it's not Japan, I don't want to play, you know?
That's an incredible. First, the analogy of the equation is exactly what it is. It's what you see is just is all of these little things, and a lot of it has to do with what you're feeling like off the court. And if you're not happy off the court, you're not going to be happy on the court, and you're going to play terribly. It's just how it is. I mean, you think about we. I always try to compare this to you know lay people or people who don't play. And just try to say, like, if you're unhappy at your job, or is your life going to be happy? Like, no, you're a lot of the factors going in are based on your culture, your home life, your job. And if those things are off, it's terrible. That's you hit it on the head because it's so true. On top of that, that's incredible that you learn Japanese because not many people will commit to the part like that. A lot of people, a lot of Americans come over and expect everyone to almost conform to them as opposed to accepting their culture and respecting their culture and being able to adapt to them as opposed to them adapting to us. So that's really admirable.
Don't get me wrong, I'm at the level of like you know, a 3-year-old, maybe. However, like it's night and day of what even just that can do. And
Yeah.
so I'm just trying to keep building on it. Like it's not easy, you know, there's no, you know, when if you're using like Roman characters and you're looking at like, you know, German or Spanish or whatever like other language or and you can you know what the letters are and they all have kind of like the same sounds. And
Yeah.
so then that transition is a lot easier for a different language. When you're learning Japanese, it's literally a character that has nothing to do with anything that you've ever seen in your entire life. And so you have to literally memorize what this character is and then what that alphabet letter is. For example, we have like each individual letter has its own sound.
Yeah.
In Japanese, there's two letters to our one letter. So like sa, si, suse, like it's like goo, and then like one character means that, and you have to remember that, and there's three alphabets, so it's like it gets crazy, like, but it's fun, you know, it's like, yeah,
It's
aside.
crazy. It's nuts because I was just on vacation with my family, and we sat there around the campfire one night and like did trivia. And I realized, I mean, I knew it obviously, but you grow up in it, you think, but I've known a lot of people from foreign countries who've come here and they're like, what is with some of these words? And I feel like English is there's like you said, you can get the basic, but the word set has like 10, 15 different meanings. And it's like, how, like, someone coming from from a different country, and they're like, okay, set. Okay, it means this. And there's all these words that have multiple meanings and like homonyms. And it's wild when it comes down to when you're trying to explain something to someone and be like, no, that doesn't mean that in this situation. They're like, I don't understand. You're like, I know. It's stupid. I have no idea why.
It's given me such a greater appreciation for the people who do go to a different country and literally know no nothing, like have nothing, know nothing about the country really, and know zero of the language, and then turn into like, you know, you see like even just having like a normal job and being able to like communicate with customers and like whatever that is. They're like, yeah, I came here with like $20. And it's like, wow. Like,
Yeah.
you know, stuff like that is just, and I feel like that maybe because we hear about that so much in America, because it's like, you know, everyone is like trying to come there and like do that, then it's like we're almost desensitized to that.
Yep.
But having to now kind of like go here and try that, I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's crazy. Like, you know, hats off to the people that like do that, seriously. So
I always go back to like that time in America where everyone was immigrating into America, and like my ancestors came from Norway, so like what were they thinking? They're on a boat and they come here and they have no money, no idea what's going on. They're sent to like Ellis Island. It's like wild to think about what was going on at that time period. And then you're like, we're traveling and we get there and they're like, here's a hotel, here's a apartment, here's this. You're like, that's pretty dope. We didn't really get that whole entire immigration experience, but it is fascinating when you think about it, how people have to go through that. You're with your wife, and does she learn Japanese as well? Is that something you guys kind of shared together?
Yes, she's knows like a very basic, like she actually got here yesterday, and
Oh wow, that's awesome.
yeah.
Congrats, by the way, because I know
Thank
that's like such a great moment.
you. Yeah. And so she introduced herself to my assistant coach in Japanese and stuff. So like she's picked it up. And then now that she's seen like my growth from last year to this year, and like I had a phone conversation and I talked to my teammate in Japanese. And then we got off the phone and she was like, just like, I want to learn now. And I was like, all right, like we can do it. So
That was always impressive. If you're having a conversation in a foreign language, that's super impressive. That's awesome. So you've played in all that, like we've talked about, you played in all these different situations and you have a wild COVID story. Now, it seems like that seems to be a recurring theme with many Americans who are playing overseas now. A lot of them hit that COVID era, and there's always just wild stories because no one knew how to handle it. And especially, we always talk about overseas. You know how it is with some of the shit. You're in a great situation now, but there's a lot of places where it's very shady, and we'll talk more about that. But when COVID hit, if you're in a situation that's already shady, and then COVID hits, the shade level is going to go up about like 1,000. So take us through your wild COVID story.
All right. Well, I prepared. I got like some. I have like some talking points because I didn't want to like leave anything out. But like, we're gonna talk about like that, and then I also want to talk about like something relating to that, and we'll get to that. It's gonna
absolutely.
We'll get there, but I just want to like disclaimer this because I've seen on a lot of different podcasts when players get on, and it's almost like I'm trying to expose you.
Yeah.
This place or this or like these people, like for how I'm trying to deliver this is almost of like a, hey, this is what I experienced. I'm not here to like, bash anybody or say that anyone is this or that. It's more of like, I want this to be educational because there's a lot of things too that I learned about resources that were there for me that I didn't know about.
Yes.
And so now this translates to, this is a COVID story, but this translates to like, I mean, for sure every rookie out there, but a lot of guys that might not have like, that rely solely on someone to find them the job and send them there and they sign it. And that was me, but then it turned into me being basically a player agent now to where I've helped place guys in multiple countries. And so now I have a really good understanding about it. So like the transformation has been like incredible. So disclaimer there.
I love it.
So basically this was my third year as a pro, second year in Europe. My first year in Europe, I was in Pro B Germany. Mm-hmm. Had a good year, led the league in scoring. My team, unfortunately, we had a lot of injuries and did not have a good year. So that kind of affected me. So, guys who are watching, winning is important. Like, if you think that it's not, like, get it from someone that averaged 23 points and didn't have a job the next year when it was time to have a job, right? So I ended up not having a job right away, but then getting an opportunity to go play in Cyprus. And that league had not started yet because I think they start a little bit later than a lot of the, like a month later, shorter season, less teams, for not a lot of money, less money than I made the year before. And like for everyone out there, I think that players should be honest about, not trying to sell the dream of like, I was out there making $1 million year, because it's a false sense of reality. And then it's like a generational curse that's happened in overseas basketball.
Yes. 100%.
It's just, and I think that it's so not cool to the next guy, it's really not, because they're going to get there and realize, wow, he spent his whole paycheck on that Louis bag.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, if it's even real. Like,
yes. You know what I mean?
So I was making less. The contract was for less than $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was like, okay, like, still early. Like, make this happen. Cyprus, I've seen guys go there, play well, and, get to like Greece or like some other, first division. So I was like, all right, I have nothing else. Let's make it happen. So I take the deal. I make sure I get a buyout in my contract, because I was like, if I want something better, cool. Signed it. That was it. I get on the plane. I go out there and I land, right? Mind you, it was a it was a crazy, like, I mean, it was like a 2.5 day, like two back-to-back red eye flights, flew into Qatar, Doha, Qatar, and then like it was wild. Like, it was longest flights I've ever been on. I get there and I'm just like, I like everything's just like foggy, like connect to Wi-Fi, boom, got like a bunch of texts from like my agent at the time and like calls, and I'm like, all right, that's not good. And I open it and it's like, hey, are you still in USA? Question, question, where are you? Like, did you leave? Like, all this stuff. And I'm like, call the agent. He's like, hey man, like when you were on the flight, some crazy stuff happened. The team, I guess, had like a FIBA ban. They didn't pay a bunch of guys from the year before, so they're sanctioned. They fired the coach, like the coach is gone. So they don't like your co the coach that you've been talking to, he like is not there. And he was a huge reason why I went there, because he had won multiple championships in Germany, Greece as a player and a coach, German national team, had all the connections. So I was like, that's like, I don't care how much money I make, I'll go play for him. So I get there, he calls me like, hey Tuck, like I'm really sorry, like this all just happened, found all this out, like I'm basically out of here. And I'm like, okay. Like, I haven't even got my bags yet, you know what I mean? And so then I'm like, they're out there, I was like, yeah, I'm here. So then like the agent at the time was like, all right, well, you're already there, so like I guess just kind of like see how it goes. And I'm like, okay. So like we get to like the apartment, and it was me and like one of the other Americans who flew together. So we both were like, bro, what's going on? And so then we're greeted by like the manager, who basically like, you know, he'd like bring the water bottles, he'd like, you know, get the jerseys and like all that stuff, kind of like the manager, right? Yeah. So not like the general manager, but we're talking about like the equipment manager. So like we're talking to him, we're like, hey, he's like, hey, we're here, this is the coach's apart old coach's apartment, 2 bedroom, like super nice apartment, you guys are gonna stay here until like, you know, we find you a place to live. Because with all the other players, they were living in this hotel that was like a 2-star hotel, like extremely crazy living. Like, I went there once and I was like, bro, this is, and I was like, that's what I had in my contract, is that I get an apartment, because my wife was gonna come. And so they were like, you're living in this apartment and we're gonna find everything else. Got like 2 weeks left on the lease, so like no worries, like we'll be good. I'm like, all right, so like I guess the coach isn't here anymore, like who's the coach? And he was like, me.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, okay.
Oh,
And he had just told us like not too long before that everything that he did for the team and stuff, like he got paid like 300 euros a month or something, you know what I mean? So it was like they basically just picked somebody and they were like, you're the coach.
yeah.
And I was like,
Who's our
okay.
cheapest option right here?
They're
You.
like, all right. And so I was like, okay. And I was like, well, he's my coach now. So I was like, all right, well, I was like, nice to meet you, coach. You know, I was like, there's literally, I have no option but to just feel it out, you know? And like, I don't know that he was not a kind of a coach. Like, how am I supposed to know that? You know what I mean? I don't know that. I don't know anyone's qualifications. I'm just trying to be super respectful and just take everything for what it is. Get in an apartment, we start practicing, and I'm like, okay, this is definitely not Germany. You know, like this, like Germany was very like boom, like we had like, you know, real coaches and stuff, and it was like complete polar opposite. And like Cyprus is a super nice place, like I would go there for vacation, but like I like living there was just like a totally different story. And yeah, we were practicing and I was just like, there was no like, you could tell there was just no like I'm the coach. There was like, this guy is the coach. Like, this guy's a player and he's also kind of the coach, and this guy's kind of the coach. And it was just so many like different like voices, opinions.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know who's in charge here, you know? Like,
you're like, can I be the coach?
Yeah. I was like, this is not like really going to work, because like, I was like, I just have a bad feeling about this. So then next thing you know, they're like, hey, you got to move out of the apartment. You know, time goes by, we're practicing. You're getting ready to move out of the apartment and we're going to have to put you in the hotel. And I was like, that's not going to work, because like, I've seen the hotel. Like, I'm not living there. Like, that's not in my contract. Like, I need an apartment. Like, I have my wife here. Like, we need to be comfortable. And they're like, okay, like, here's the website. Like, here's the budget for the apartment. Like, find an apartment. And so then like, I had to basically then be like real estate agent and like go tour in apartments, and which, don't get me wrong, is not a bad thing, but
yeah,
under these circumstances, it was like, it was bad, you know what I mean? And like, 'cause this year I got to like tour and pick my own apartment out, but like, it's 'cause I came here early. Like, I wanted to choose my own spot. I was lucky enough that the team was like letting me do that.
Yeah.
And so like, it was a blessing this time. Over here, it was like, I need to find somewhere to live in 3 days or I'm going to have nowhere to live, you know? And so like, there was only a couple options picked. They basically were like, all right, you got to stay here. I'm like, cool, we move in. And like the first night I go to sleep and it's like 3 in the morning and I'm hearing like, welcome to McDonald's, how may I take your order? And I look out the back window and like, the only McDonald's in that city was right behind the apartment, and the drive-through microphone was like, you know, 20 feet away from my bedroom. And they were open until like 6 in the morning, and then they closed for like 2 hours, and then we're back open. And I was like, all right, this is crazy. Like,
yeah.
I can't, you know? And so all that happens, we start playing games, and it just wasn't a situation that was like fitting towards me. And so like, I was like, I gotta get out of here. I hadn't been paid yet. I was supposed to get like, you know, a certain amount of money like halfway through after medical checks. Like, I wasn't, there was so many different things. Like, there was no insurance. Like, I didn't have a working visa. Like, they were like, oh, you don't need one. You don't need one. Like, you're good. And so like, I was like, okay. And then I found out that they had the FIBA ban, because that's why they fired the coach. They were in debt on $100,000. So they fired the coach because that was his salary. And then they somehow found a way to get out of the FIBA ban, but they were on probation. So I couldn't even play in the first game because they were still banned.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it was crazy. And so like, a lot of things that they didn't hold up on their end of the deal. And I was like, all right, like, I let go of the agent who I was with before, because like, unfortunately, he kind of just like really left me hanging out there. Like,
yeah,
there was no like, I'm gonna do everything I can to like help you get you out of this contract and like find you somewhere you can go right away. It was kind of like, let me know like how it goes, you know? And so I was like, all right, so now I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta figure out how I can tell them I'm leaving. I got to find a new agent, and I can't leave Europe because I'm over here.
Yes.
So I need to stay over here. So like, for guys that get in situations and like, you either get cut, you are in a situation like this, or it doesn't work out, whatever it is, do not leave Europe.
Yep.
Because you're instantly that much more valuable, because a flight in Europe is so much cheaper. And that $1,500 that a team could save on flying someone from America versus flying you from another country will get you a contract.
Yes.
Like, and it's crazy that like that's what it is, but like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
'Cause they can get you like same day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so why that is a big deal, I don't
know.
It's
wild. Yeah.
Like, and so like, I was like, okay. So I like started planning, and I'm like, where can I go? I can't stay here. So it's like, I got to figure it out. So I'm like talking to my wife, talking to my mom, talking to this new agent who I got hooked up with from my teammate from the year before. He was like, I'll help you. And I was like, cool. Shout out to Robert Cardenas Ruda with Athletes out of, and he's a German agent.
Nice.
But yeah, we had a nice, I'm not with them anymore. However, for the years I was with him, like, he got me from literally this situation to help get me to where I am now. So yeah. Like, shout out to him. He's like, I'll help you. So he, in that period of time, was making calls, started communicating with this club. And so I went in and had like a meeting. I was like, hey, I got to go. Like, this is not working. Like, I appreciate the opportunity, but like, I got to go. Like, you guys don't even need to pay me. I was like, don't pay me. Just let me leave, please. Like,
see, yeah.
Like, keep the money. Like, I don't care. Like, I just want to go play somewhere else. And then they were like, well, you need to play the next two games. And if you don't, we're going to call FIBA on you and say that you were like fixing games because you wanted. Yeah, bro. They're like, we're going to ruin your career if you don't play the next two games. And I was like, I got to leave like in the next 2 days. Cause yeah. I was like, I got to get out of here, because if they're saying that, like, in my mind, I was like, who knows? Like,
what else? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
I was like, whoa. Threatened my career. Like, who knows? Like, I don't know if someone's going to like, I mean, we were scared to go to sleep. Like, cause we didn't know if someone was going to like show up at our apartment and, or like, take the car. Like, I didn't know if someone was going to like take my car and we weren't going to have like transportation. So we packed all our bags. We put them in the car. We went and dropped the car off and booked a flight to go to Spain. And I called my boy, Shane Whittington, who was my college teammate. He was playing in the ACB at the time. And I was like, hey, bro. Like, I am in such a pinch right now, and you're literally the only person I can call. He's like, yeah, bro, we got like a 4-bedroom house out here. Like, you're gonna have to stay here with, like, you know, the wife and kid. And we're like, bro, like, literally, I'll pay your bills, like, whatever you need. Like, come on. So, like, we fly to Spain, and like, we get out there, and mind you, backtrack a little bit. While this was all happening, I was in contact with FIBA, like,
yeah, NBA,
that people and all that. It's really unfortunate that stuff, like, there's no like emergency like mitigation of like,
yes,
it, there's, it's like it takes weeks for something like to it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, there's like, I was thinking, I don't think, is there a players association for FIBA?
Nope.
Like, well, there's not, right? So that, nope, gets me into my next topic.
Yeah.
So there's no, there's nothing of that. So if you're out there in a pinch, I couldn't even get anyone on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't really get a respond to it. I was getting like basic email responses of like, please wait, we'll get back to you. I'm like, yo, did you not just read what I told you was happening? Like, I am like stuck here, and I'm trying to like, all I want is just to know, like, I'm going to get my letter of clearance, you know? Cause like, without that, like, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, we'll figure this out after. I just need to get out of here and like get to a spot. You know what I mean? Like, I got to, yeah, just get to where I know I'm safe. Like, we're safe. And like, then we can start working out the details. So we get to Spain, and then I'm getting emails of like, they're like, oh, for every day you're not here, it's $1,000 fine. Like,
and this is from the team in Cyprus, not FIBA, correct?
Yeah. From the team in Cyprus. Like, just making up, like,
yeah.
Like, just, and then every day, like, saying, like, you need to come back. Like, because they didn't really have any money. So they were trying to find ways to, like, basically blackmail me into, like, giving them money.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have money.
to pay the rest of the team.
Yeah, like, we basically, please give us money so we can pay the other players before they all leave. And so, like, literally 2 weeks later, another guy, he left because they didn't pay him. And so it was like, it was just out of control. I mean, I was gone for a couple of days. There was a new American they had brought out who was playing in my jersey with my name on it.
Oh my God.
Like, You know what I'm saying? It was just like, I was like, all right, bring the next one in. You know what I mean?
Did the other American, did he leave as well? The other guy you came from?
No, this was like another, I forget the word it's called, where it's a different European country, but he's like an import there.
Oh, yeah.
Bosman,
yeah.
Bosman player, something like that. So he was from Lithuania. And then he left, and then, like, he was out of there. I mean, that team, there was a couple, like, cycles of imports. And then some guys just put up with it because they were like, I need to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, teach their own. And so, like, we're out there in Spain for 3 weeks. Unfortunately, like, he was in, like, a really, like, big team, and they practiced at, like, a place where they had to reserve. And it was like, it's just different. You know how it is. It's different in other countries. You can't just go to the gym and work out. Like, yes. You can't just 24-hour fitness. You can't just, like, pull up to, like, a top team in ACB and, like, work out in their arena. Like, it doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? And so I was able to go to the gym, thankfully, like, once a week for the 3 weeks I was there. And then everything else, bro, I was in the street. Like, they had, like, light poles that were like, you know, and each light pole I would use as like a free throw line, half court, free throw line, full court. And I was like running lines like in the street of Spain. Like I would run hills and like tie myself and do like defensive slides. I was like, I'd like put on like hoodie, like it'd be raining. I'd put on like hoodie and sweats and like Rocky Balboa.
Yep,
like,
Rocky style.
I was like running through the streets of like, where were we at? Like Valencia or something. I think that's the city we were in. And like, I was like, he had like marble floors. So I was doing like ball handling drills. Like I'd be like babysitting his daughter and like, she'd sit on my back and I'd be like doing push-ups. Like, like, bro, like it was a grind, bro. Like, and I literally at that point in time, I was like, I just have to be in some sort of shape. And then whenever I would be able to get into the gym, it was at like super, super late. Like when he'd go in and shoot and then I'd like kind of sneak in there with him. And it would be like, I would literally work out and I would be exhausted. Cause I was like, I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to get in the gym is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's going on and, you know, we're there through Thanksgiving and stuff. So it's kind of we're getting towards December now. You know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, I'm like talking more like, we've been here for 3 weeks, like been like, it's been nice, but he's also has like, he's in season, you know what I mean? And I was like, we need to get somewhere else to like, let him focus, have his own space. Like, I felt like I was being a burden, but they were like, nah, like that's my boy.
Yeah.
Literally stay all year, bro. Like, this is fun. And I was like, bro, like, it's cool. Like, I need to get somewhere where I can, like, get in the gym every day. Like, it's not just, like, I don't want to be here. But it's like, you know, like, I got to let you get back to, like, your thing. And I got to go, like.
Yeah, you got to get yours. Yeah.
And so I called my old team in Germany, in Cologne, the Rhein Stars. And I was like, hey, you guys, like, shot in the dark here. I'm thinking about coming back to Germany because I then had gotten that German agent. And I was like, I'm going to get my own place in Cologne. Like, I don't need anything from you guys. And they had just built this new practice facility with like 3 full courts, like a bunch of stuff and like a gun. Like they had weights and stuff. I was like, what do I need to do to come back? First I was like, can I practice with you guys? Like practice with the team and stuff. And they're like, like we can't really do that because, you know, like if something happens to somebody, like all that. And I was like, nah, I get that. They were like, but between this time and this time in the morning and like this time and this time at night, if you just reserve it, you can come like for free.
Nice.
You can work out. And I was like, dope, we're going to Germany. And so literally, but that was in December. And so I don't know if you've ever been to Germany before, but they're big on the Christmas markets.
Huge.
Like, Christmas is huge in Germany, especially in Cologne, because Cologne is a very popular, hub for a lot of foreigners that come in and out. And it's just like, it's one of those like different like spots in Germany that like people like to go to where you can get like a different experience,
Yeah.
And so literally the only, and I was like, okay, I need to get somewhere for a month. So I'm gonna try and book it for a month. And I was like, there was nothing, and everything was super expensive. And there was one spot that was like literally a studio that had a mattress on the floor and like a little kitchen and stuff. And then it was like $1,000. And I was like, book it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, get there. And we get down there and we're like, okay, we're in this like room basically, and we got this mattress on the floor, and like now it's like all right, it's time to just like make it happen. Like I had no plan. Like thankfully I had my wife there. Like she was like holding me down through it all. I mean, there was so many times where I was like let's just go home, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like it's even worth it. Like she's like supporting me and all that. So like that was like huge having her there, you know what I mean? And so like I mean, and bro, and then like that's when like the real work started. It was like I wake up in the morning like super early, eat breakfast, then I'd have to get on two trains and then the bus, and then I have to walk like 10 minutes to get to like the practice facility because it wasn't like in the city, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like an hour to get there, and then I get there, I work out, like and do whatever I want. Then it's like same route back home. Then I would chill. We'd go around kind of. Then this was where I like was really able to be like a tourist kind of. Like I was living there.
Yes.
I'm a basketball player, but I was able to like I lived in the city the year before, but I was able to see it like on the ground, like not like driving around everywhere. Like I was literally like I was living there, you
Yes.
know? Like, man, this is dope. Like, why didn't do this before, like, and so that went on for weeks, bro. Like, and I had no idea what I was doing. Like, we spent Christmas there, and everything. And then I that came into meeting this trainer named Paul Gutta, great guy. He's like the best trainer out in Germany. He's in Cologne. He's got his own gym out there, and I mean, he's done stuff with the NBA and like the NBA Paris and like all stuff like that. But before that, he hadn't been like doing that. He was like building himself up.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey bro, I need a trainer. Like I need to start working out. Like when can we get in a gym? Like I have the spot. I can meet you there. Like let's work out. Like I have literally nothing else to do. So we started working out a couple times a week. Like he was dope. He would pick me up and like give me rides to the gym and like drop me off at the crib. Like he'd hit me up for like, yo, there's an open run here tonight. Like I'm gonna pick you up. So I'd like go and play. Meanwhile, like, but this is December. Like I went to the game to watch my old team play, and the fans were like, what is Tucker doing here? Like, yeah, I'm just here like trying to find a job, like I'm unemployed, I'm back though. And that went on like for a while. And so then we have New Year's, right? And it's like, bro, I'm like living in this place and I have no idea what's going on. And then my time for the apartment is like, there's like 3 days left.
Oh, shit.
So I'm like, okay, like I'm talking to my agent and he's like, like nothing yet. We're getting there. We're getting there. Like we're just talking to teams. Like they know you're here. And then literally like 2 days before this team in Pro A, the second league in Germany, Heidelberg, they hit my agent. They're like, yo, somebody got hurt. Like, can he hop on the train and like come try out? So I'm like, cool. But that was like that day to get on the train was the day that the Airbnb ran out. And I can't, we, me and my wife both had like two suitcases. Like that was
Yeah.
like, there's no way like we're going cross Germany with like all that stuff. So I had met my homie. His name's Heiko. And he super great guy. Like his family had it. Like we met him. I met him through Paul. He was training with Paul, and his family like had me and my wife over for like Christmas dinner, and like went down to like the cathedral and like watched like the choir sing and stuff. They like took us in, and they were like, "Anything you need, like let me know." So we went out to their house for like meals, and then they actually let us keep our luggage at their house. And like, wow, I traveled through, you know? And like, shout out to them too, because like, had that not happened, like, I don't know, bro. So, boom, we're out of the Airbnb. Like, we each got like our belongings to like last us a little bit. And like, we're on the train to the other side of Germany. So we get there, and I'm like, yo, like I've been working out, but like I haven't been playing, you know what I mean? And so I'm like kind of like I'm not gonna lie, like I went into that like kind of just I wasn't super like confident that I was like in shape, because you know how quickly that can go, and you know how it is going to a team to a practice when guys are in like, I mean, we're in January here, bro. Like guys are in top condition, you know what I mean? It's like I've been working out every day, twice a day, but I haven't been like practicing, like I haven't been playing games. And so like I get there, and I'm like instantly I could tell, like I was like, bro, I have not been like, I'm like out of shape, bro. Like I can work out all I want, but if you're not like doing that, like, and so like I do well, but I kind of leave, and I'm like, they were a good team. Like I think the next year, the year after that, they went to the BBL. And like as an American player, like coming like that, I was just like, I did well, but I wasn't able to really show myself. You know what I mean? It was just like that one practice, like that one day. And it was just like, I was like, well, it just wasn't for me. You know what I mean? Now I'm going back to, now I have to book some other random spot. So on the train back, he's like, yo, this other team, Schalke 04, they're away. And they have a big like soccer club too. And they were like, hey, like they want you to come up in 2 days. Can you find somewhere to live for the next 2 days? I'm like, yep, I just booked this spot for like 2 days. We get to the spot, I call Heiko, I'm like, hey bro, I need to keep my stuff over there for a couple more years because I'm going to play like to try out for Schalke. He's like, all right, no worries. So we do that, boom, 2 days go by. We get on the train, go up there, and I pull up, and I'm like, there's no way that I'm not making this. Like after the first one, I was like, I don't care if I like have to be carried out of here. I'm literally going at everybody's neck. Like because there's no other options. Like, you know, bro, like I was just playing. I just was like literally playing for my life. And I'm playing out of my mind, bro. Like, I mean, athleticism is just like at its all-time like peak right now. Like we're dunking on guys, like it's just good. And I'm like, bro, there's no way I'm not making the team. So like after the practice, and like my wife was in there watching because she had nowhere to go. I told him, like, you guys want to like make her wait outside or like in the car? I was like, we have nowhere to go. And they were like, no, she can come in and watch. So like she's watching, she's like dang near like cheering for me like at a game. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, like so they take me into the room after the practice and stuff, and it's like the coach and the GM, and they're like, okay, like we don't know why you're not on a team. Like, you know, so like we wanna like we got an offer for you. And I was like, okay, cool. And they're like, there's just one thing. Like everybody shares a room with one other guy, and so like we don't really allow like wives or like girl. That was a rule. No one could bring their significant other out here. And I was like, well, sorry to hear that. That's not really gonna work for me, because I was like, she's like, and then I was kind of like, I wasn't kind of, I was in tears, you know what I mean? And I was just like, you guys don't know like what I've been through, like to lead up to this moment. I have nowhere to live. Like, I have no, like, it's either I play for you guys or I go home.
Yeah.
In 1 week, the Pro A and Pro B, the signing period was cut off January 14th. So this was 1 week after New Year's. So January 14th was like the cutoff. I was like, you guys don't, like, if you guys can't, like, I can't have made her, not made her, but like had her support me through that all.
Yeah.
And then get what we were both working for, because it's like both of us.
Yeah.
And like, and then say, hey, babe, like, you got to go home.
See you later. And be like, what? Yeah.
No, I was like, that's not, like, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Because it's not, it's like, yes, like, is this for like my basketball, my future? But like that is extreme. I was like, we're married. You know what I'm saying? So like, if she can't have it, then I can't have it. You know what I mean? And I, like, I accept the offer, but she's got to stay.
Yeah.
And, like, it's up to you guys. It's not up to me.
Yeah.
And so then they were like, I was like, just let me know. And so they went and asked the guy who I was going to be living with, my boy Darnell Dunn, played at Pepperdine. And he was like, bro, like, yeah, that's cool. Like, I'm not tripping. And so then, like, we were living there. So then, like, boom, so it started. So now we're approaching the COVID era.
Oh,
of it.
God.
So they put me in a temporary apartment because actually the guy whose spot I was taking was actually there at the practice. And so he knew I was staying and playing there. They had to wait for him to leave so I could move into that apartment. But in order I could move into that apartment, I had to be signed, have my insurance, and have like everything. Because Germany's very like, everything's got to be by the book, which I love Germany for that.
That's great.
And so they were like, let's get the contract worked out. So then it was like, we kind of didn't really tell them everything that had happened in Cyprus. We kind of like, we're like, yeah, there's something that happened in Cyprus, but like, no worries. Cause you know, we wanted to like get the contract first. You know what I'm saying? So then they reach out to get the letter of clearance and they deny it. And they're like, we're not sending it. So I got days until the cutoff, right? Like days. And they're like, hey, we're going to give you like 48 hours to like get your letter of clearance. If you don't have that, we have to sign someone else because we're not going to have an import for the rest of the season.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're telling the team like, hey, I have a $1,500 buyout in my contract. I'll send you $1,500 right now and like send it. And they're like, no, we want $3,500.
Okay. God.
And I was like, what? So they were like, either that or come back. And so then it was like, I didn't have $3,500 in my bank account.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I hadn't made any money that whole year.
Yeah.
And so, like, thankfully, I'm in a situation where, like, my mom was able to, like, financially support me in that situation. And I was like, hey, mom, like, this is what's going on. Like, it's either like we pay $3,500 or I'm coming home. And then, and I was like, and by the way, you're going to have to fly me and Mel home too. Like, but basically, it was going to be like the same amount of money. And she was like, well, I'll just, you know, do it to, you know, you keep playing and like, you know, this is what you worked for your whole life. Like,
yeah.
So, like, let's just see it through. Like, you've been out there living and like working out. Like, I'm not, like, you're not coming home. You know what I'm saying? So she sent me the money and then I had to send it to them. And then they sent a letter of clearance and it was like, boom, we're good. I mean, I'm playing in the next game, playing good. Five games go by. I'm like ninth in scoring.
Wow.
I'm shooting like over 40% from three. They hadn't won many games. We had won like the second game I played and they were like, stuff was like, you know, it was going good. And next thing you know, like, we're hearing stuff about like COVID, like this disease stuff. Like, two of our players a couple weeks before were like deathly sick, and then like they like quarantined them, but this was before anyone knew what a quarantine was.
Uh-huh.
Like, they thought, they were saying it was influenza, and they were like sick, bro, like sick. And like, we're like, you know, everyone's like, this is fake. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
And like a couple of days later, it's like, boom, NBA done, right? We're like, oh crap. Boom, NCAA canceled. I'm like, this is getting serious. Like, you know, and then like everything like dominoed after that. You see, like, you know, EuroLeague going on pause, like everyone going on pause, right? And then you know, a couple more days go by and they're like, we don't know what's gonna happen, but everyone's gotta like stay home. And then I'm playing on Call of Duty with my boy Shane and then my other boy who's in Italy. And my boy in Italy, they had already closed the borders on him. He was stuck. He couldn't go anywhere.
Italy was like, that's what we were hearing in America before, like anything else. Like, we are hearing about Italy.
Yeah, so Italy, he got stuck there. He was stuck there for like over a month, like after everything. And then my boy Shane, he drove his wife and daughter to the border, to Portugal and dropped them off at the border so they could get a flight out of Portugal. And the border closed like right after they were saying like the border's closing like at midnight. And he like drove them out there, like dropped them off. They flew out. He was stuck there. And so I'm finding all that out. I'm calling my team and stuff. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, I'm not trying to get stuck like these guys. Like, you know, like we don't know how long it's going to be for. Like, this is, I was like, at this point, like, basketball's over. You know what I mean? Like,
It's secondary.
they're like, we don't know, guys. We might still able to play with no fans and everything. And I was like, nah, this is like emergency kind of situation. So now it's like, we got to get out of here again. You know what I mean? And it's like, I had just played five games. And I'm like, all right, my season's over. So we book a flight and we're out of there within 12 hours of hearing everything. And then the team was like, well, we'll reimburse you. And then, like, you know, we'll pay you the rest of your like contract, which was dope. And so then, like, we get home. And then it's like shortly after that, like, everything kind of like closed down. So, like, we're home and it's like, boom, now we're into lockdown. Now it can't do like, so now that takes us now through like the whole summer, you know. And I'm working out like outside at parks. Like, you know, I took on this like personal challenge because like that was the year before COVID. That was when like Kobe died. And then now going into my next season, it's August. I have no job again because I only played five games this year before. So I went from leading the league in the third division, going to the second division, being top 10 and everything, but then COVID getting shut down. But the COVID didn't matter because I only played five games. So they're like, well, we don't know if, you know, that was a fluke or whatnot, you know. So then I had no job. So then once August 28, 24 hit, I was like, I'm going crazy now. Like I'm like doing this, like I'm on my Kobe, like, bro, I had gained weight during like COVID and everything, like not working. So I went from 230 down to 210 and 7% body fat in 4 weeks. Like I was on it, bro. And then I ended up getting a job not too long later in November. And then I went back to the third division in Germany. So I took a step back. And so I went out there and I took the job as a power forward. I was like, I'll take it. I'll play power forward. Play small. So I get out there, I'm playing. I'm back there. Now I'm averaging 25, over 40% from three, like almost 20 or almost 50, 40, 90, you know, like playing out of my mind. Like we're and they were partnered with the BBL team, the Hamburg Towers. And so I'm practicing, bro. So then like how it was with that is like I get there, I'm living in Vito, and I get up at like 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and I drive like 1 hour 15 to Hamburg. And I practice with the BBL team. I'm there by like 9. Practice starts at like 9:30 or 10. And this coach believed in one practice a day, but it's going to be longer. So it was like a three, I was there for like 4 hours. So I'd leave by like 1 o'clock. And then I drive like 1 hour 15 back. So I get home by like 2:30, eat, take a nap, chill for like 2 hours. Then I have my team practice. Then I go to my team practice. And that went on for like a couple weeks. And I was just like, I had like, this is what I got to do. Like, this is a grind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just happy to be playing.
Yeah.
And bro, like, not to mention, I was playing for $1,000 a month. There was
That's
guys,
crazy.
there was guys on the team that were 17 years old that weren't playing, that were like high school kids that were making more money than me.
That's wild.
And I'm leading the league. I'm the best player in the league.
That's so, like, crazy.
Yeah. So that ends. It's the end of the this like towards the end of this regular season, and playoffs are approaching, and the team's not making playoffs. So my agent's like, yo, I got a job in Czech Republic. This team that's like in contention of playoffs, they want you. I already talked to your GM and everything. Buyout's good. You can go and basically go there. There's couple regular seasons games left, and then you go for playoffs. I'm like, let's do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The GM of this club drives from Ústí nad Labem, Czech Republic, to Wedel, Germany, which is like, I don't know. It was a long drive because I was like, I'll rent a car or come there and like do a one-way rental. He's like, nah, I'm going to come pick you up. So he pulls up. We load all of our stuff into his car and we drive all the way across Germany, get the check. And then like, boom, I'm there, right? So I'm like, okay, this is crazy. Got a game the next day, like, and or sorry, we got practice and stuff. I practice once, I come home, I wake up the next day, and it's a Thursday. Sorry, it's a Friday, and we got a game the next day. I wake up on Friday, I'm like, I'm feeling
oh,
kind of
shit.
Like, I'm feeling kind of like funny, like, I'm like, I don't feel good. So then they're like, just stay home from practice, like get some rest and everything. I wake up the next day on the game day and I'm like, I feel terrible. They're like, just come warm up. I was like, no, 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 no. You guys don't understand. I have.
So for the first time ever in the history of the Overseas Famous podcast, we are leaving you with a cliffhanger. Listen up next week as we present part 2 of the Tucker Heyman interview.